Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of The Roundtable. I am your host, Mickey Hall. This show is presented by the Multi-Ethnic Sports Hall of Fame and was founded by Arif Khatib in 2000 to give the world an opportunity to better understand the impact African Americans made in professional sports and society. We presented induction ceremonies in New York, Seattle, Puerto Rico, Los Angeles, Ethiopia, Nairobi, Kenya, Virgin Islands, Atlantic City, Philadelphia, Oakland Bay Area, Las Vegas, Palm Springs, Sacramento, and Halifax, Nova Scotia, just to name a few places. Please check out our website at www.afrosportshall.com to find all the latest events that are coming up. Don't forget that today's show will be archived 1 hour after this live broadcast, so you can listen at your leisure. For our sports fans out there, today the Baseball Hall of Fame class was announced, and four were inducted. Chipper Jones, Jim Thorpe, Vladimir Guerrero, and Trevor Hoffman are heading to Cooperstown. Congratulations to them. And also, we must congratulate LeBron James for passing Kobe Bryant as the youngest player to reach 30,000 points and only the 7th player to do so. Congratulations, King James. Unfortunately, I find myself coming on the air again, sending out condolences to more grieving parents. Yesterday, a high schooler walked into their school and opened fire in Kentucky, killing 2 classmates, a 15-year-old young lady and a 15-year-old young man. 17 were injured. Our hearts are absolutely shattered. That was the 4th school shooting in a matter of a 3-week time span. Jackson, Tennessee, New Mexico, and Philadelphia. You know what I miss when these tragedies happened before? I miss the leadership that President Obama showed in these troubled times. He helped me with the anger and frustration that all of us feel at times like this. He helped me to continue to show love and mercy on all the families involved, unlike what we are shown these days. Also, someone who I grew up listening to has passed on. Rest in peace, Hugh Masekela, South African jazz trumpeter and activist, left this earth Tuesday at the age of 78. Hugh was a South African trumpeter. They call it a flugelhornist, a cornetist, composer, and singer. He is considered the father of South African jazz. He was known for his jazz compositions and for writing well-known anti-apartheid songs such as Soweto Blues and Bring Him Back Home. He was the father of American television host Sal Masekela. Our condolences to the family. Today's guests are going to lift us up and give us some joy to look forward to. As you know, next month is Black History Month. So we are going to talk about some exciting events that are coming up in the city of Oakland, and that where Oakland is going to be back in the spotlight. My guests today are Alicia Greenwell, founder and creator of the Black Joy Parade, and then my second half guests are Sherry Godzine and Alicia Rivera from Oakland First Friday, who are going to tell us about Black Arts taking place on February 2nd. Alicia Greenwell is a Northern California native and a 12-year advertising vet. She is a graduate of UC Santa Barbara with a BA in Business, Economics, and Creative Writing, and the Academy of Arts University with a Master's in Fine Arts in Advertising Strategy. Throughout her career, she has developed award-winning brand strategies for companies such as Intel, Nike, Target, Starbucks, and PlayStation. In early 2017, Alicia returned to the Bay Area to help lead brand reputation strategy for Facebook's consumer marketing team. She is the founder of Black Joy Parade, a celebration of the Black experience and our influence on culture's past, present, and future. This big inaugural event will take place on February 25th, 2018, in Oakland, California. Alicia, welcome to the roundtable.
Hi, Mickey. Thanks for having me.
How are you?
I'm lovely. It's so weird to hear you read my bio like that. We're on such a casual basis, me and you. So it's so official.
Hey, we have to present in the best light possible. You know? Well, thank you so much for being here. Alicia.
No problem.
You know, how you came with this creative genius and tell them about your past and, you know, fill them in on who this sister is.
Well, I don't know if creative genius is I know it's not the accurate phrase. I think it's essentially just inspired by everything around me. So as my bio mentioned, I grew up around here and I left for quite some time, about 5 or 6 years. For work in LA and Portland, and I was really excited to come back to Oakland. And when I got back to Oakland, it's changed, you know. And I think your listeners, I can sort of leave it at that. They probably know how it's changed, that saying it. And I think some really good changes, but also some troubling changes for the Black community. You start to see not just the sheer population, the numbers go down, but also just our presence. And I started to realize that we weren't at mass. There was sort of no collective gathering that was happening, which is troubling because when you think about the things that have momentum, the things that have influence in the world, they're recognized at mass. They're recognized as presence. And I just started, you know, racking my brain, like, what could we do? How could we bring everyone together? Because there's no shortage of amazing people in the Black community. There's no shortage of people like you, organizations, individuals, youth, older, all, you know, runs all the gamut, that are doing things that are really continuing to push us forward and show our excellence. And that's sort of how the Black Joy Parade was born, is how can we collect everybody into one interesting space? It was also important to me to start at a positive lens. I think as a community, especially as of late, but, you know, for centuries, we've gathered a lot to resist because there's been a lot to fight for and a lot of inequalities to solve. But at the same time, I don't know that we gather enough to just celebrate ourselves and celebrate all that we do and the influence we have and our energy and how dynamic and creative and loving and I don't know, inspired we are. So, you know, that's the Black Joy Parade. It's not that genius. It's like, let's get together and celebrate ourselves and let's be in the streets and let's be seen and heard and felt and let our presence known, not just to others outside of our community, but to ourselves, remind ourselves how powerful we can be when we're together. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, I guess when I say creative genius, I guess I say that because you, age-wise, are a millennial.
Yes, I am the millennial.
You're the millennial, you know, and not too many are interested in starting on in taking on this endeavor back home, you know. That's where I am, you know, giving you all the accolades for that.
Oh, thank you. I think a couple of things. I've been really fortunate both in my life and my career to travel all around the world for work, for pleasure. With my parents were travelers, so I started understanding and appreciating other cultures and towns very early. And I think you, in doing that, you not just appreciate diversity, but you also grow this love for home. You grow this love for the place that nurtured you. And I think Oakland is the place that I came to understand my Black identity, what that meant to me, how important that was to me, and how much joy it brought me. And, you know, when I came back to Oakland and felt it dwindling around me, I was like, no, this can't happen. You know, there's probably a handful of amazing Black cities that have always sort of been focal points and gathering points for our community. And I've always thought of Oakland as one of those. And I think we're at a precipice. Like, it could go in a couple ways. I hope that it goes in the positive ways. I hope that the Black community continues to be core to its identity and core to its culture. And in that way, you know, I don't know if that's millennial or not, but I think that millennials, we do have this tendency to want to make an impact and want to, like, be part of something. And I've always felt like I was a part of Oakland. And I think the Black Joy Parade is just making sure that I continue to be a part of it. The people I love and the people I'm connected to, my friends and family, always feel like Oakland is a welcoming, inclusive place for the Black community.
Yes. Well, how has the response been?
Amazing. Actually, better than I thought. You know, in this current situation in politics, I don't know what to call it. You know, you see people sort of a little braver with their polarizing attitudes, a little braver with their, their racism, if we're just be blunt about it. And I don't know if it's because it's Oakland, you know, and it's a pretty liberal place. But even allies have been incredibly supportive and so excited. But the best part is the Black community just happy to just be celebrating. It's exhausting to always fight. It's exhausting to always resist. It's exhausting mentally, emotionally, I think physically as well. That stress takes a toll. And the Black Joy Parade is by no means an attempt to discount that fight and to say that that's not important and absolutely necessary. But it is for us to take a chance to just be and just celebrate all that we are already and comfortable in the space and of what we create and the things that we do and not have the pressure of pushing up against something, but instead pushing forward on something. And everybody just, I don't know if there's a void or what's happening, but everyone's just so excited. And the best part, it's cross-generational, right? It's not just parents, millennials, it's older people who've been wanting to see the community out and together again. It's younger people who sometimes have never seen the community out and together in that way. So it's been really, really positive. I'm really excited. I'm overwhelmed, to be honest. I didn't think this little idea would turn into something this real.
Well, yes, it has taken off. What can you tell our listeners? What do they have in store for them on February 25th?
So it's a Sunday on purpose. You know, we wanted to let you have Saturday to run your errands. And then it starts a bit later on Sunday so that the religious community or the brunch community, you know, whatever you do, you can have the morning. So at 12:30 on 14th and Alice downtown, we'll start the parade. We have a bunch of people signed up. It's everyone from who you'd imagine, you know, dancers and sort of artists. But also we have some religious groups coming out. And we tried, you know, across the denominations, which I think is really going to be really fun. We have some ex-athletes coming out. We have some school bands coming out. It's going to be really interesting with the scraper bike team, the famous scraper bikes from Oakland coming out, some skateboard kids. Like, it's going to be really diverse, and that was the whole purpose of this, is to bring us all together in one space. And I think in doing that, you recognize how influential the Black community truly is. across every industry and every, you know, everything you could ever think of, our fingerprints are there, and that's worth celebrating. And so I think the parade is going to be high energy, really, really beautiful. The parade will go down Broadway till 20th and Broadway, and then there it'll open up into a celebration. At the celebration, we have two stages. One will be with full of poets, and, you know, the Black spoken word poetry community in Oakland is second to none. It's incredibly talented. And then another stage will be mostly music, and we have, you know, local groups as well as some national groups. And then we have skate lessons and a skate park. We have a Black-owned winery section. A lot of people don't know that there's actually Black-owned wineries in the area. We have food vendors, and we're going to have a little domino section. So we're hoping that there's something for everyone so that everybody has a, you know, motivation to come out, bring your family. Yeah, the celebration will go till 7 p.m., so the last act will probably be under the lights, which should be also very beautiful.
Yes, definitely. Now, what do you say to the allies and, you know, the non-people of color?
Yeah, so that's the first question we get, I get at least, right? Is, mm-hmm. So I think the first thing is we were really intentional about calling it the Black Joy Parade. I wanted people to know what this was for. You know, there's a lot of events for everybody. There's a lot of events to say, this is just about something vague. This is very specific about celebrating the Black community and having a space for us to thrive. That said, anyone that wants to celebrate that, anyone that wants to join in this experience is more than welcome. And that's not just across racial lines, but, you know, internationally, the LGBT community, like so many people, we're not just one thing, right? I'm not just Black. I'm a millennial and I'm a woman and, you know, I'm Californian and you know, we have friends that are queer that are also Black, and everyone is absolutely welcome knowing that this space is to celebrate the Black experience. So come prepared for that. Come prepared to celebrate your friends and family, whether those are your kids or your grandparents or your neighbor or whoever it is. It's a collective experience focused on a specific community.
Wow. Wow. You are just...
It's going to be beautiful.
It is, you know. Did you just wake up with this idea, or is this a collective thought from your travels that you've encountered?
You know, I just woke up with the idea, and I know that seems silly, and I hate it when like really, you know, impressive people are like, and then I just woke up and had this idea, but I literally did. I had this thought in my head of how do we bring everyone together and sort of my disappointment of what was happening in Oakland. And I went to San Francisco Pride, and I was like, ah, look at what this does for the community. Always been a huge ally of the LGBTQ community, but I think Pride really elevates their messaging. It really elevates, you know, what they believe in, their joy and their happiness and their diversity within the diversity of that group. And the next day I was like, we should do this for Black people. Why don't we have this? You know, why don't we have this space that celebrates us and invites our allies out and invites our all generations into one space. And told some friends, and they're like, you're crazy, okay, whatever. In the beginning, we were like, we're going to get some drums, and we're going to march through the street. It's going to be great. And they're like, no, you need permits. You need to ask people and security, and what are people going to drink? Like, what are they going to eat? And I'm like, oh, wait, this is like it's a thing I have to – I've never organized an event. I'm not a politician. I'm not like this isn't what I do. So it's been a long lesson learned on how you actually make these things happen. But I think the great thing, like I said, is we've had so much support that I was only alone that morning when I had the idea, and every step of the way I've had incredible people by my side.
Wow. Wow. Now you have a commercial that I took the liberty that I would to play for our listeners right now.
We're here, a long line of people. Maybe not always as visible as we should be, but here, no matter what gets stacked against us, Black people keep building and pushing and leaving things in the world better than we found them. And that's worth celebrating. We gather a lot to resist, and for good reason, but we don't gather nearly enough to celebrate. The Bay has a rich Black history and an incredible spirit, a community full of Black joy. And no matter how much this city changes, that will never go away. My name is Alicia Greenwell, and on February 25th, 2018,
The first annual Black Joy Parade will make its way down the streets of Oakland to celebrate the spirit, resilience, energy, creativity, and excellence that made this city what it is today. If you're from here, if you're new here, if you're still here, join the community in our efforts to be seen, heard, and felt. We're asking for your participation and your support as we fundraise. Mark your calendars, donate what you can, share the news, and get ready to bring all your Black joy to the streets.
Wow.
It's so awkward to hear your own voice. I don't know how you do it.
It takes some getting used to.
Yeah.
But it is for a wonderful cause. Why don't you tell our listeners how they can help? What are you looking for besides, you know, monetary things?
Yeah, there's so many things. So please come, you know, bring your friends, bring your family. Come and show the community support. If you're interested in being in the parade, I mean, please come one, come all. You don't have to be an amazing dancer or play a great instrument. You honestly can wear matching t-shirts with your family and walk down the street, make a cool banner. It doesn't have to be, you know, so much effort to just be part of the celebration. If you like to volunteer, we're looking for tons of volunteers to run the event, to work the bar, to manage the stage with us. You're interested in any of those things, you can go to the website, blackjoyparade.org, and sign up. There's sort of a section for each thing, and it'll talk to you a little bit more about how to get involved. But honestly, you know, we were really adamant about doing everything we can to make this a free event, and we just want everyone to come out and appreciate it. Hopefully it goes well, and we can keep doing it every year, and it becomes sort of an end of the Black History Month celebration that that we can expect and get excited about.
Definitely, you know. Let me ask you this. How was the city of Oakland when you approached them?
You know, I've never dealt with the city, so I sort of came in a bit naive, which I think they reacted to a little bit of like, no, you need these things, you need these things. I'm like, what's happening? But, you know, actually feel like it was pretty good. They had some comments about the route, you know, and I think that was coming from experience around the history of the city, what would be symbolic of where we started. And that's part of the reason why we're starting on 14th and Alice, because that's the Black Arts District in Oakland. But for the most part, I think that they've been pretty helpful. They seem excited. You know, everyone's excited when something brings new energy and new life into the city. So, and it's, you know, it's Black History Month, so it seems like good timing. But like I said, I'm not super deep in that world, and nor do I plan to be. So I sort of had a hands back approach to the whole situation of like, okay, what's the minimum things I need to do to get this off the ground? Because at the end of the day, I know it isn't the city that's got to drive something like this forward; it's the people and the community itself, and that's absolutely been the truth. So.
Yes, well, you know, Oakland is one of the leaders in the country,
yeah,
for the Black art, and there is a history.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. I think that something not just the city, but everyone's excited about is like bringing that to all together and gaining, you know, attention for all of it. There are so many incredible artists in Oakland. It's just crazy how concentrated it is with talent, and so that's made, you know, my job a lot easier. It isn't a matter of like, oh, who's going to do the design work? Like, are we going to is it going to be pretty enough? You know, is it going to be inspiring enough in the street? Like, absolutely. You know, the hard part is the organizing part, but getting the talent, the caliber of the talent that's in not just Oakland, but the Bay Area at large, you know, that's already there.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. Now, for you, what's your day consisting of undertaking this mission?
Yeah, so every day is different. I have a job, a very full-time job. This parade is not my full-time job, or it is hours-wise, but it isn't paycheck-wise, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I go to work every day. I sneak away and take calls in the bathroom. But, you know, I work at Facebook, and they are our biggest supporter. They were the first to stand up and say, we'll absolutely help. You know, we want to help you build community. We want to help celebrate the communities that exist already. And so I'm really, really appreciative of that. And because of that, they're also very forgiving of my time. And then after I work, you know, I head back to Oakland and we meet, we talk about plans. It's really fun because there's so many elements that go into planning something like this. You know, there's logistics like permits and security and bathrooms. You know, people need to have a place to go. But at the same time, there's like, oh, okay, well, what's the logo going to look like? And, you know, where are we going to put them in the parade? And, oh, what if we opened with, you know, that stuff is so fun and the team is so inspired that I just kind of get to sit and listen to everyone's ideas. And then we, you know, organize, make a plan for it all. So every day is different. I think I joke, you know, if five people came to this, I've learned so much. I've gotten to meet with the most incredible people in Oakland who are doing the work. You know, they're the ones, the boots on the ground, and talking to them about how can they can be part of it and what's their message. And, you know, people always ask me, like, what is Black Joy? And it's not my job to sit and tell people what Black Joy is. My vision was to create a platform where people can come express their version of Black Joy. And so that's why I'm serious when I say everybody come out, everybody come and show what makes them happy, why they thrive, what they love. And getting to sit and have coffee and drinks with people for the past 3 or 4 months and just talk about that has been, it's been life-changing. I'm so much better because of it all.
Wow, that sounds like a life-changing experience.
It really is. It really is. I encourage everybody that if you have any hesitation, no idea is crazy. Like who knew? I never thought I would plan something like this, you know? And like I said, if 10 people show up, it doesn't matter. Like, it's worth the ride. It's worth the lessons that you learn along the way. And I think that I'm doing this because I'm so in love with my own identity and the Black community, but I think that I've grown a whole new appreciation for the talent that exists out there and the hard work people are putting in. It's absolutely life-changing.
You know, and it takes events like this, you know, to see, you know, a lot of the hidden talents in the people that pass us on the street corner.
Yep. You know, you don't even know how talented some people are.
You know, whenever I'm out in Oakland and, you know, coming from a late night meeting or, you know, an event, there is always a artist in standing on the nearest street corner, speaking or singing or playing that,
yeah,
you know, is just, it's a show in itself.
Yeah. And I think, you know, in our society today, we hero the people on the front of magazines. We hero, you know, I work in tech and we talk a lot about how much money the tech business and the innovators and the inventors. And I don't know that we give enough credit to the people that are still hopeful even when things are hard. You know, the drummer on the corner who like makes your day when you're walking down the street, that guy is nothing compared to the people on the front of those magazines, but he's still alive and he's still happy. And I think that is something, you know, hope is real. Hope is powerful. And we have to continue to have it. We have to continue to pass it down to other generations. And I'm hoping that this event brings that to light, because you're 100% right. There's people you walk by every day and you don't recognize their talent. And even when you do, you probably don't recognize what that talent and that hope and that energy is in spite of the other things that they're also going through, and to still be so alive is, you know, I don't even know. I don't know that I have that in me, but I think it exists all around the Black community and beyond.
Yes. Where do you see Black Joy Parade in 5 years?
Oh, my gosh, Nikki. I'm just trying to get through this year.
You know?
Make it happen this year without losing my hair and drying out my skin. You know, if we can pull up a great event this year, we can talk about it. Let's talk about it on February 26th. but I'll
okay.
The day after.
All right. When we have those cocktails.
Yeah. Oh, geez. No.
Yeah, definitely.
They're always like, why don't we have wine? I'm like, I don't have time for wine.
Yes, too much planning. Too much planning. Yeah. Don't want something to fall through the cracks on this. So before I let you go, tell everyone the social media outlets, how can they reach you?
Yeah. So, you know, it's Black Joy Parade on every channel. It's at Black Joy Parade on Instagram, at Black Joy Parade on Facebook. It's at Black Joy Parade on Twitter as well. If you have a question, you can email joinus@blackjoyparade.org. You can go to our website as well. There's super easy to navigate buttons to email somebody about any question that you have. And it's on February 25th. So if you want to come out and ask questions in person, there you go. We also have committee meetings once a week on Monday nights at 7:30 in Oakland. If you're interested in that, send us a note at joinus@blackjoyparade.org. There's all kinds of roles and all kinds of interesting things people can get involved in. And so if you're looking to be a little bit more hands-on, you're more than welcome. I'd love to have you.
Wonderful. Alicia, I cannot thank you enough, my sister, for coming on.
Thank you, Mickey.
I hope you
are part of this movement too. You bring so much joy and inspiration to me and your listeners, and I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, my sister, and you are the Black Joy of Oakland right now. So
I don't know about that.
we will definitely be rooting for you, you know, and we will be walking that walk with you on February 25th. The parade starts at 12:30 and down 14th and Alice all the way up to Broadway. And then you are just going to have two stages full of poetry and song and dance and vendors galore. So I encourage everyone to come out.
Yes, please.
Yes, definitely. And Alicia, thank you so much.
Thanks, Mickey.
We will definitely, like I said, be following you and wishing you all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, hon. Take care.
Happy Black History Month. Bye, Mickey.
Bye. Wow. Now, for my second guest, we are going to have Sherry Godinez and Alicia Rivera talk to us from Oakland First Friday.
I want to welcome my second half guests who are joining us from Oakland's First Friday. And with me now is Sherry Godinez, the executive director, and Alicia Rivera, who is the marketing and PR person. And they're going to tell us the exciting things that are coming up next month for Oakland First Friday. Sherry, Alicia, welcome to the turntable.
Thank you.
Hi. So, Sherry, let me start with you. Tell us about Oakland First Friday.
So, Oakland First Friday is unique in the sense that it started pretty much by itself. It was very grassroots. Originally, it started from Rock, Paper, Scissors, which is an art collective here on Telegraph, but it was one little block. It was eventually taken over by Art Murmur, which was a night when all the art gallery districts were open late on Friday night. When they stopped doing the one block event, the vendors just started setting up all along Telegraph. And so it sort of just grew out of that. And so nobody was out here running the event. It was just thousands and thousands of people were coming out to go to the art galleries, but to also check out the makers and craft vendors that were setting up along Telegraph. Yeah, so it eventually has grown into what it is today, where this nonprofit organization now has sort of put structure behind it and runs the event.
Now, the nonprofit that runs the event is Kono, right?
Yes.
Tell us about Kono and how they oversee and handle everything.
Okay, so Kono is a community benefit district, which is a nonprofit, 501c3, and we are funded through a special tax assessment that the property owners pay. The board of directors are all volunteers, and they're either property owners or business owners or residents in this community.
Wow. There are good things that can come when a community comes together, is pretty much what you're saying, how First Friday started.
Yep.
That's awesome. And, of course, here in Oakland, if I remember correctly, there is a high concentration of artists in Oakland.
Yeah, in Oakland we have a lot of artists. I think we're the second highest per capita in the country
mm-hmm.
of artists. And in this district specifically, we have a large concentration of art galleries and art collectives. A lot of our little garage shops here in the district are businesses by day and galleries by night.
Yes. One of the main things is it takes a lot to put a street fair like this together. What do you need every month to make sure it goes off properly?
Oh, yeah. So we should have invited the event coordinator, John Eric Henry. It is a task. We started out with just a couple of us, and we've sort of grown our staff to put this together. But from the time one event ends, the following Monday, registration opens back up, and we start all over, and it's a lot. Alicia's been brought on as the marketing coordinator, so we have that part of it where we want to make sure we feature our vendors that are out here. We also do a call for volunteers. We always need volunteers.
Yeah,
and then it's just making sure all the permits are in, all the logistics around closing the street down and having enough porta potties and having enough security. Just a lot of, you know, different parts, moving parts to putting it together.
Yeah. Well, Alicia, tell us how you've come on and helped with their message. What's the message you'd like to send out?
Really, the message I like to send out is that Oakland First Fridays just is, it's like Oakland. You know, we celebrate diversity. We're an inclusive event. We have people of all ages, all different colors, all different walks of life, and it's just really a place where it is community. Like, you feel like you can sense that it's almost like family in a sense because you have such variety of people. And so really that message that I like to get out is just, you know, all walks of life are welcome just to celebrate and come together to celebrate arts and crafts. And another point, it really is that we are local. We celebrate local artisans, and we really just like to celebrate our community and their work.
Okay. So what is coming up next month? We know that it is Black History Month. And I know First Friday in the last, like, year has been trying to do themes. So what's your theme for February?
Yeah, so for February, we want to honor Black History Month. So we're doing Black Art. We want to feature Black artists, Black entrepreneurs, Black food vendors, and just honor that legacy.
Why do you think that's important to do, especially in this community?
I mean, this is Oakland, so Oakland for a long time is a majority of African Americans, so it's definitely important in this community, and we don't want to forget that. Last year, we tried to honor Black History Month, and the event got rained out. And there were a lot of people in the community that were upset because they were excited around having the Black History Showcase, and then we weren't able to do it.
That's right. I do remember that. Yes, it did. It did. And it looks like, even though it is a rainy day today, we checked the weather for next month, and it hasn't rained. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Now, Alicia, what do you tell people visiting? To how do you get the message to them? What's important for them to take time of exploring San Francisco? Why should they come here for Oakland First Friday?
Well, Oakland First Fridays, I mean, this is where we really celebrate artists. Like, we really want people who make their own work and do their own art. Whereas, you know, a different festival, something at Golden Gate, like maybe they have several importers and just people who are good at doing business, whereas we really celebrate people who make their own craft. And also what's unique, I think, is also just the point that it's like Oakland art, and really a lot of that is people of color celebrating their things from their cultural background, their heritage, and that really comes out to play in whether it's the musical performances that you see or the street performances of like turf dancing, which originated here in Oakland, and also just the artwork itself. You'll just see lots of things celebrating African hair, or you'll see paintings of darker skin tones, and that's very unique to Oakland. You know, I think maybe in San Francisco you may see people perhaps that more went to art school and in the traditional sense, and maybe more traditional art.
Okay.
And I'd also like to mention that part of our mission is we make sure that the majority of our food vendors are Oakland-based. The majority of our arts and craft vendors are Oakland-based.
Mm-hmm.
So we really are showcasing the Oakland community.
Oh, that's great. I know you've gone through a lot of changes over the years. What do you think is making Oakland First Friday special now?
I think word has spread further and further, and so it's always different each Friday. You always see something different, different bands, different things to experience, and so it's sort of become like a staple for people. I'm going to go. You're like, every first Friday, people will return. It's not like you've been there once and that's enough. It's like, no, this is what we're going to do on the first Friday of every month.
How do you keep the vendors and the community vendors to keep coming back, to keep hanging in there with a small community organization that probably in most places wouldn't have survived so long?
I'm going to say two things. One is the shoppers keep them there because they must be selling product to want to come back. Second, we keep the prices low and affordable because we know these are authentic craft makers, and so our prices are very affordable to get into this event. And maybe a third thing is we listen to their voices. We'll do surveys. We'll have meetings with our food vendors and run an idea past them and ask them what they think. We're looking for their feedback. Like this, we still feel that this is their event, even though we're sort of running it up here. It's still their event.
Wow. Okay. All right. So you are looking at a close relationship with your vendors and the community. But how do you keep the communication going?
Well, this is she also does our communication. So we communicate with them through email, through meetings, even out on the street the day of. we'll communicate with them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and there's also our, we have a manager for the vendors, and really she has a close relationship with them. Like, you know, they'll talk on the phone, they talk via email, and they see each other at the event. And then especially the more seasoned ones who have been coming, you know, for years, some of them, they do have a relationship with our vendor manager now.
That's great. So it's relationships, I think, is how you guys have set out and what you've accomplished. Your relationship not only with your vendors, but with the community.
Yeah.
You know, but how do you keep topping? Each month, you guys come up with something creative and something different. Where do those ideas and creative energy come from?
Well, it's, you know, it's partly the team. We talk, you know, about things here. We bounce ideas off each other. And we'll also pull sometimes from our community on Facebook. I know last time we asked them, what would you like for the name of this event to be in January? And so we took those votes to sort of decide what it would be. And, you know, we want to do more of that and to hopefully pull more of the community input that way.
Oh, that's interesting. And I was a part of First Friday for a couple of years, and that is something new. Now, these surveys, I mean, what's the response been with the community? And how have you gotten that on social media?
So what's really cool is, like, Facebook just has, like, a little cool thing, and you just ask the question, and then people just vote. And so it's really simple. You know, I thought about doing it on a different channel, like Instagram, but it's like, you know, it could get a little messy. So just put the question out there on Facebook and allow the people to speak. And it's a new thing that we just did for January. And actually, I just asked a question today because we're coming up with an idea for when the event gets rained on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would like to hold maybe a smaller version of the festival the following Friday. And so I just kind of asked the community, like, what do you think we should name this? So if you want to vote, the vote is up there right now.
Okay. All right. Wow. So how is it from month to month?
Mm-hmm.
How do you reach out and keep your volunteers happy and coming back?
Well, with our volunteers, we give out free items. You know, we give them a free shirt, we give them free food at the event, and we give them a thank you too after they have participated. And really, we just invite them back and hope that they had a good time with us. And we just really hope to see them again. You know, I think volunteers, it'll change. Like, I think with photographers, we've had a lot of repeats. Those are some of the volunteers I deal with mostly. Others, you know, they're part of an organization, like a fraternity or sorority, and they'll volunteer at the gates. And so that's kind of reaching out to schools.
Does it cost anything to get into First Fridays?
You mean to volunteer?
No, does it cost to enter?
Oh, no,
Is there a cost associated with people coming in?
Well, donations are accepted. You know, we are a nonprofit, and we do largely rely on volunteers. So, but other than that, it's definitely a free event. Again, like, we just want the community to come together, celebrate art, some crafts, and just a night out.
Well, if it's a free event, what's the donations for? Where does that money go?
So it costs money to have the street closed down. It costs money to have the security out here, to have the porta potties. And we want to keep our vendor fees low. And in order to do that, we need to bring in more money, either through sponsorships or donations at the gate. So the donations at the gate are really, really important. First Friday has kind of been running in the red for a little while, so our gate donations used to be higher, so I'd really like to encourage people, you know, maybe you kind of got burned out on donating, but it's really important to keep the event going. Another thing I wanted to mention that we offer is if you have a nonprofit organization, we offer $500 to a nonprofit that will come out and bring 10 volunteers to collect donations at the gate. So that's a really good opportunity. We've worked with some other, like we worked with a youth boxing community that was trying to raise money for a roof on their facility. And, you know, so we gave them $500. They brought 10 volunteers. We worked with the Street Academy, who also works with youth. And they came out and worked the event and gave them $500. So I would really encourage anyone who has a nonprofit and is interested in that to contact us.
Great. Now, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you? Give them social media, phone numbers. How can they reach out to the First Friday?
So, I mean, you can always register to participate as a volunteer or as like an artist or vendor at oaklandfirstfridays.org/participate. There's
people message us through Facebook all the time.
Yes.
You can email us at event@oaklandfirstfridays.org, and you can call us at, no one knows our phone numbers anymore.
Exactly. I know, this technology in day and age.
We'll get the phone number in a minute. Our office number is 510-361-0615.
Okay. Repeat that one more time.
510-361-0615.
Okay. So on Facebook now, it seems that that's the way that the communication is. So when you're on Facebook, how are you reaching out to the youth? What's been their response?
Mostly, I mean, Lisa can speak to that, but from what I've seen, very positive. They always tag their friends about coming to First Friday. And if they have any questions, they just message us. And our response rate is really good.
Yeah, I see that's, or are you, sorry. yeah, so we get lots of tags. You know, people tag us on a lot of their posts, you know, whether they're selling in the event or they're just stopping by the event or they've already visited and they just want to post their picture or video. You know, we get a lot of that on Facebook, and it's definitely on Instagram as well.
Okay. So why don't you walk us through the process for, let's say, we have a new band that wants to perform. What's the process that they go through to appear at First Friday?
Well, they register online on our website. Mm-hmm. And then we just make sure that they send us videos of their performances or samples of their music. Also, any artists just give examples of their work, whether it's a portfolio, social media accounts, any of that good stuff. Our vendor manager and our event coordinator review those applications, and they'll get a response from our team.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what's the response turnaround time? How long does that process take?
It's about 72 hours.
That's not bad.
For most vendors, I think...
not so much for music.
For music, mm-hmm. It's different. Yeah,
okay.
A little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
So I don't have a firm number on musicians, but for vendors, retail, and food, you'll get a response in 72 hours. Not counting holidays.
No. Of course. Of course. So, all right, let's talk about the people that perform here. Tell us about the performers, and I know First Fridays has been the starting ground for performers to go on. How does that make you feel when you see like the Turf Inc.
Mm-hmm.
goes up, been going all over the world now?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's an honor to have them here. It was an honor to have Fantastic Negrito want to debut his album at First Friday because his roots are here in Oakland, and then he goes on to win a Grammy, and now you see him all over.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it gives people who are, you know, novice bands the opportunity to play in front of a crowd. We did at one point have a small grant through the Cultural Arts and Marketing Department of the city, and we were able to actually give some of the bands a small stipend. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to get that grant again, so the bands come out and play for free. But we give them a booth space so they can sell their merchandise or their CDs or things like that. So it still gives them some opportunity, and it gives them an audience to test their music on.
Yes. I remember last year when Pam the Functress came. And how was that experience? Because even afterwards, people talked about that. And especially now with her passing, that must be a night that y'all remember for a long time.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, it was really sad when I heard about her passing. And I just listened to an interview on the radio with her the other day. I'm not sure she's from Oakland.
No, they moved here from down south. But yeah, that was, I'll never forget that. The street was jam packed that night, and I think we kind of got in trouble because there was no walkway for everyone. You know? But when you think back and you see how this has progressed. You know, and Sherry, you're from Oakland, so this must really make you proud.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We were talking today at my meeting just before here about how Oakland pride is strong. And, you know, whenever you would tell someone you're from Oakland, they would just look at you like, oh, like they felt sorry for you. And it's like, no, you know, because Oakland pride is very strong. And I'm like third generation Oaklander. I think people are just starting to discover Oakland, what a wonderful place it is.
It is. And people just don't know there's nothing like being on Telegraph Ave on a Friday night with just so much going on. How do families respond to you?
We get a lot of families out here, and that's when you know your event is successful, when you see the kids and the strollers and the old people and the young people, and you just have a variety of ages and races and everything, like all in one place, getting along. It's just wonderful. And I will say First Friday, you know, it's a short little event, you know, for all the work it takes to set it up, and it's from 5 to 9. But it's just the way to start your night. There's so much more even after. We have a lot of great bars and restaurants and beer gardens, and people filter into those places after the event ends. So.
Yes, it does go on for quite a while. But why does your event stop at 9:30?
The city. Actually, it's 9. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It used to be 9:30. They pushed us back to 9. It's tough because the crowds are large, and the city is short-staffed on officers, and so they have to. This event takes up a lot of manpower, and so yeah, it's just a balancing thing. We're hoping at some point, maybe in the summer, we can go back to 9:30, but we have to see.
Now, before, you would stop about October.
There was one year where we closed down for 3 months without having the event, and at that time is when we took a lot of time internally on our team to establish the mission and the vision and all those things. But the community didn't want that to stop. The brick and mortar businesses this last time, you know, they're impacted. When First Friday's not here, it affects their bottom dollar. And so our board of directors, listening to the voices of the community and the business, said we're going to just do it year-round, you know, unless it rains.
Oh, that's really great. All right. Again, tell them how they can reach out. And I want to keep emphasizing your call for volunteers especially. So why don't you tell them again how they can step up to the plate and help in any way, shape, or form.
We have a lot of different volunteer positions. If you go into our website, oaklandfirstfridays.org, and you hit volunteer, there'll be a list of different positions, from photographer to vendor placement to gate donations.
Performance area coordinator, you know, bar support, bartender, and, you know, we have a behind-the-scenes role, too, if you kind of want to get into the office and volunteer with us here. We're very happy to open our doors.
Oh, okay. I know you guys have always reached out and helped, especially the young ones who come, and it's been some excellent volunteers who are just so full of the passion that I think First Friday helps them get their footing for the work experience. But tell them what else they can find besides the camaraderie and the experience. You know, Alicia, you are just graduated from San Jose State, right?
Yeah, a couple years ago.
So what's it like for you coming in to a nonprofit and working behind the scenes?
I think it's been really good. It's very, I think when you're in a nonprofit role, you end up doing a lot of work. So in that sense, it's a good challenge, you know, causing me to stretch and to exercise different areas of discipline. Even I thought working at a startup was me wearing several different hats, but coming into a nonprofit, you definitely are wearing a little more hats than a startup would.
That's true. But that's a good analogy of the startup and a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sherry, how did you get involved with First Friday?
So I guess, you know, I had my own business for 15 years, and then I got involved with the Merchants Association for my district, which was the Diamond District. From there, I got involved with a nonprofit that supported merchant associations across the entire city. And then when the economy crashed and we lost all our funding, I ended up here at Kono and sort of doing the same thing, which is supporting the small business district. So it's been very fulfilling, because I know as a small business owner what a struggle it is. People think you own a business. They think you have money.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me it's very fulfilling to be able to be here and to be able to talk to these businesses and support them. And then having on top of that the First Friday event, it's like not only do I have my brick-and-mortar businesses that I'm helping market and support, we have 200 vendors that are out here starting their own business. These are entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, we got a grant, and we were able to do an entrepreneurship program where we invited artists to come in and learn how to take their art to the business level. And that was very successful. That was like a 6 or 8 week program. One of our board members, Sonia Brooks, put that on, and through her business, Greenleaf. And I wish we could do that again. So we have to look for more grant money to do more programs like that. But, again, that's helping these small little artists take it to another level.
Mm. Now, I know one of the things, as you mentioned earlier, is just the galleries that are down here. Now, do you see that it is a different struggle for the artist as opposed to the other vendors?
For the individual artist or for the gallery?
Well, for I guess both, because they are, you know, even though they have the same industry, but they are, you know, two different entities for an established gallery as opposed to the small business who comes and sets up their booth monthly.
Yeah. What I think is nice about this district is we do have some, I guess you would call them high-end galleries with very, very expensive art. But we also have other type of galleries that will let an unknown artist showcase their work, like Warehouse 416, for example. They'll do a call for artists that have art they want to sell that's under $200. And, you know, it just, that's special for me. That's like you're giving these small unknown artists this opportunity.
Wow. Well, I for someone who has attended, people don't know what they're missing if they don't experience a First Friday. Now, you also, besides the First Friday, isn't there an Art Murmur collaborative that you also do? So it's two programs.
It's two things going on. I mean, it's this whole thing came about because of Art Murmur. There are people that probably attend the First Friday event that aren't aware of the, you know, they don't distinguish between Art Murmur and First Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a ton of galleries up and down 26th Street, 25th Street, 23rd Street that are open until 9 o'clock that night that people should check out. They're also open, I believe, second Saturday during the day.
Mm.
But it's a lot. I mean, those galleries always have wonderful art in them.
What's that? Something I didn't even know.
Oh, wow.
So it's good to explore. So as we wrap up, is there anything that we haven't covered that you want to cover more about the Black Arts coming up? What do they have to look forward to? You know, tell them one more time.
So Black Arts Month is going to showcase Black artists, and I know Alicia's been working on trying to get some.
So we're definitely celebrating all of the participants who are of the Black community, whether they are, you know, culinary artisans or they're makers of their own crafts and such. We do have we have like Sankofa, which always, she gets all her fabrics from Africa, from Ghana, and she makes authentic African works, you know, of clothing and jewelry. And so you'll get to experience all of these great entrepreneurs, Black entrepreneurs. And also, though, we really want to invite other people in the community to sign up. We definitely have people who, you know, are selling food, who are like Seas Fried Chicken. We have Gorgeous Gorillas. Those are both Black owned. And we have several others, but we want to invite more just so this event can really be celebrating the Black community of Oakland.
So, yeah, if you are a Black artist and you'd like to participate in First Friday, go to our website and sign up and talk to us.
Give them that website one more time.
Oakland First Fridays, it has an S, .org. /participate. Participate is the page where you go to register.
Okay. And that phone number is 510-361-0615. See, we all wrote it down. We were prepared. So in closing, again, we just want to let everyone know Oakland First Friday is the first Friday of every month. And this coming month in February, they will be having the Black Art. And this is going to be something that you truly don't want to miss. We promise you, it's not going to rain in February, okay?
February 2nd. Yes. February 2nd from 5 to 9 p.m. on Telegraph, starting at West Grand Avenue.
From West Grand and Eccles all the way down to
27th Street. We take 5 blocks. We close off 5 blocks. So.
Now, where else in Oakland are you going to find 5 blocks closed on a Friday night? With all this happening. So again, everyone, Black Arts put on by Oakland First Friday, and it will be one of the best. I want to thank my guests, Sherry Godinez and Licia Rivera from Kono and Oakland First Friday for telling us about this exciting event coming up. Again, you don't want to miss it.
So with that, I want to thank everyone. Alicia Greenwell from Black Joy, Reef, Your Honor, and Denise. Until next week, thanks everybody and stay safe.